Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Chrissy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 3, Time and Tide.
Time and Tide. Yep. It does something to people. inexorable. So we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this show, which again, you should be watching. Is available on Disney Plus, so go for it. And also that we are having things to drink. And again, we had some champagne this time, both of us. Regular champagne.
Yeah, just regular champagne.
It wasn't like super great champagne. No, it's not as good as that spring rosé. It's still,
but it's passable. It's wine.
Hey, you know, wine counts. So let's get started.
All right, so someone is watching Peggy in her new apartment.
Creepy!
Creepy.
Total stalker.
She looks through a book of symbols to try to learn what the one left by the guy with the voice without the voice box meant. The one with the heart that has like a line through it kind of thing. Like a squiggly line. It's weird.
It is.
And then she hears this noise and it's a guy trying to get into her apartment. And it's just a guy who got the wrong apartment. He's trying to sneak in to see his girlfriend, Molly.
But she pulls a gun on him because, you know, creepy.
Yeah, no, it's something.
And he's like, oh, come on, just let me in. She's like, no. Shuts the window on him.
Then the next day, SSR agent, or actually maybe it's the same night, SSR agents are investigating the hotel key from the silent agent and find a typewriter and some passports, the typewriter being the one that was sending signals back and forth with the boss. And they are trying to figure that out.
Yep. They don't know what it is, but they think it's special. Well, and they're correct. Yes, they are.
The girls are eating breakfast and Angie asks about Jarvis, but Peggy says he's just a friend. It's accurate, but it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Molly, the girl whose boyfriend or whatever friend was sneaking in to basically have sex with her, is caught by the landlady, Miss Fry, and she is sent packing.
Yeah, poor Molly.
Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, she was just having fun. Anyway, Agent Thompson is looking into Leap Brannis, the guy without the voice box who wrote the symbol. But it was an alias, and the voice box agent assumed it 2 years ago.
Right. So they figured it out. The person had died. And so clearly there is something that is not quite right going on with the names of these people or their identities.
Yeah. And so Sousa says that the bumper is from a car, the bumper they found in the wreckage.
And license plate, yeah.
Yeah. Is from a car owned by Howard Stark. And so that's feeding into their theory that Howard had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, they already kind of figured that out, but either way.
Yeah.
Peggy meets with Jarvis and she wants to figure out who stole from Stark's vault and track it. So she's going to try to figure out how it was stolen first and then try to figure that out from there.
But while she is there, the SSR guys show up, being Sousa and Thompson, and Jarvis is like, oh, well, hey, I reported that car stolen. You know, hopefully you'll be able to find it. You know, that'd be great. They have this kind of back and forth because Thompson really thinks that he should be able to go in and search the house without a warrant. And Jarvis is not having it. And so Jarvis agrees to go downtown with Thompson and Sousa. The big agent who's got a Eastern European last name that I can't pronounce correctly, is insulting Peggy again. So when they get to the office, he's acting like, oh, hey, Peggy, I'll let you cover my shift tonight so I can go and screw my girlfriend so my wife won't know. Yeah. I mean, he's such a creep.
I think his name is Kraminsky or Krasinski,
something like that. I don't know. And like I said, I've not been pronouncing it correctly.
They haven't been saying it. So, I mean,
yeah, not nearly as much as you would expect. So anyway, so he, we know, has a shift that night that he does not want to cover.
Yeah. Well, he wants somebody else to cover it.
Yeah. So they are interrogating, Thompson is interrogating Jarvis. They keep trying to rattle his cage, and the chief is saying that they have a plan to do that. He's saying that to Sousa, and to Peggy, who is locked into that other room that they have a one-way mirror, or two-way mirror. I'm sorry, two-way mirror, so they can
I mean, a one-way
see
mirror
into.
is just a
Yeah,
mirror.
it's true. Two-way mirror, so they can see into where the interrogation's going on, and they have a plan. And Peggy's curious because she doesn't know that much about Jarvis either, so she's kind of wanting to find out about it, but kind of not. They discuss the fact that the reporting the car stolen has gone missing. In other words, the chief has it, and they're gonna act like it can't be found. They also have something else that they're kind of keeping in their back pocket. But apparently the something else is that Jarvis was previously charged with treason and given a dishonorable discharge in the UK. And so Thompson threatens to deport him, and deport his wife. And Jarvis finally just like, that's the line, right? It's like, you leave my wife out of it. The big guy again is trying to get Peggy to take a shift. And we see that Peggy brings in some documents for the chief's signature and is able to cover up the file that the chief has and get it out of there so that she can use it for her own purposes a little bit later on, which she does. And how she does it is that Thompson is coming out of the interrogation room to talk to the chief. And the chief is about to go in and talk to Jarvis. He opens the door, and Peggy comes while the door is open. He's like, "Oh, here's that police report you wanted about the stolen car." And Jarvis takes the hint. He's like, "Ah, I guess I'll be going now, because clearly you've got nothing on me." So the chief and Thompson basically ream her out. She gets told out off for ruining their excellent plan. Back at the apartment, Peggy is getting ready to go out. Angie shows up.
Go out to meet with Jarvis. It's
Yeah,
not like she's doing anything.
she's getting the right clothing on to go and look for how the vault was broken into, because it's something Jarvis had mentioned. It's like, you're not dressed where she's had like a skirt suit and stuff like that on previously. He's like, no, you gotta be dressed for it. So she has like I keep thinking BTUs, like, army type clothes, cargo pants and stuff like that on. But she has to throw a robe over it because Angie shows up, and
She
Angie's
says,
like, let's have
"I have a bottle of schnapps and rhubarb pie. Let's see which one makes us sick first."
some schnapps. Yeah,
I
it's a cute idea. It really
love
is.
Angie.
She is pretty great. But while Peggy's trying to get Angie to leave, she opens up the door and there's a new tenant there.
There's a new tenant, and her name's Dottie, who's apparently an aspiring ballet dancer, and she
She's
seems nice.
in a sort of demented, over nice way. Yeah,
Demented.
she has a
Jesus
demented look
Christ,
on her
Mom.
face.
You mean
Tom,
smiling?
did you call me Tom?
I said Mom.
All
I meant
right.
to say Mom. I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't mean to call you out there.
All right. Everybody wants to be a cat. I'm Thomas O'Malley. So,
Sure.
yeah.
If you really want to be an alley cat, go for it.
Yeah. So Peggy says she's going to bed, shuts the door, and then sneaks out to meet with Jarvis and go where the theft happened. We see that the theft actually is this kind of giant hole broken through the flooring of the house, the
Yeah,
big mansion.
into the vault.
Yeah.
That leads to the sewers.
Yes, they rappel into it, and apparently, Jarvis has some experience with that too. So they kind of rappel into this thing. They go to the sewers. Jarvis points out that the sewers, I'm sorry, Peggy points out that the sewers in New York are still used for drainage water, and so all it would take to carry stuff long distance would be a raft and a rainstorm, and it happened that the night that the theft occurred was a giant rainstorm.
Yeah. And so they're wandering, and then we go over to the people on the night shift, which are Krasinski, who, much to his dismay, and Sousa.
Yes.
And they give up. And basically, Krasinski is telling Sousa, and he kind of figures that Sousa really likes Peggy, which, I mean, is pretty plain on the no as the nose on his face.
Yeah, really.
And he's just like, "Well, you need to give up on liking her, because who would trade Captain America for you?" It's
You and
like,
your crutch, his shield for your crutch. It's like,
yeah, I was just like, bruh. Come
cruel.
on,
That's
that's just
cruel.
mean.
Natalie does have a thing for guys with limps,
I
so.
don't. It's just they have the best personalities. Am I actively looking for a guy with a limp? No. That would be weird. That would be really weird.
There,
That would almost like fetishize it. That's
yeah, that would be
weird.
weird. That would be weird.
No, I just
True.
based off of like fictional things, they always have, they almost always
Have
have a
better
very
personality.
great personality
True.
because they have something to overcome.
Fair.
Anyway, so Peggy says that she needs to trust Jarvis, and Jarvis says that the charges were dropped almost immediately. The treason charges were dropped almost immediately. His wife Anna was Jewish, or is Jewish. She's not dead.
And
She
she's
is
not
Jewish.
converted to something else. She
Yeah,
is
she is
Jewish.
still Jewish.
Yes.
And Jarvis forged his general's signature on a form that could save her because this was during World War II.
Right.
And because the general was like dragging his feet on whether or not he was even going to, like, he had all the papers there, but he just never signed one. And so Jarvis got fed up and he forged his general's signature and he got caught and Stark helped him get out of trouble. Then they find the end of the tunnel and look at the dock, which has a boat with Brandis's symbol on it.
Yeah, I want to back up just a little bit. There is a line that Jarvis says in this conversation he has with Peggy that I find interesting. They talk about the fact that he's still working for Stark and his wife doesn't know what he's doing for Howard. And so he says, "I'm not always truthful with my wife, but I'm always honest." And Peggy's like, "Well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
How
that's
do you make
something.
that work? That's got to be kind of rough for you." Anyway, they see the symbol on the
Yeah, so they go to the boat and are being watched by somebody.
boat.
They find the missing tech, one of which is a muscle constrictor
Yeah,
that could
it's
actually
supposed to.
break bones and such.
It was supposed to be
Jarvis tells Peggy that she can't call it in to the SSR because it would look bad for her. Like she wouldn't be able to get around the line of questioning that would make her seem like a traitor as well because she's working with Howard.
Right.
And so she's just, what she says is, "I will call them in and they will respect me." And he's just like, "No, they won't. They
No, they
won't
won't.
respect you.
They
They
will take.
never, they not they never will, but you know,
They're looking for reasons to not respect you. They're
yeah."
trying to make up reasons to not respect you. So,
So this will give them all the more ammunition not to like you.
right.
So Peggy tells Jarvis to disguise his voice and call it in to the SSR,
This
and
is
he's
hilarious.
calls Su and Sousa picks it up, and he's doing this really, really stupid American accent of like, "Hey Mac, you're going. I'm calling in an anonymous tip."
I'm
And
just a pal.
yeah, Sousa's like, "Who is this?" And he's like, "Just a pal. Have a lovely night." And then he hates that. At six, and the guy at Krasinski is just like, "Well, who was that?" And mom want you wanted him to say, "Sarge Butler, let's go." And
Yes.
dad wanted him to say, "All right, who is that, Jarvis?" So I
Yeah.
mean, clearly. Anyway, that would have been very funny. A guy shows up who knows Brannis and Peggy fights him. And she is losing the fight at one point,
Yeah,
and
he's like this ginormous comic book thug guy.
yeah, and Jarvis helps her when she struggles, and Peggy uses the constrictor on the guy, and knocks him out.
Yes.
The SSR agents show up just as Peggy and Jarvis get away, and they recover the stolen tech and take the guy into the station. In the car, Krasinski is talking to the suspect. It's just Krasinski and the guy in the car. And the guy mentions an English lady.
Some
And
English
Krasinski's like,
broad, yeah.
"Huh, that's odd. What did she look like? I
And
know an English lady."
all of a sudden, from out of the blue, a car hits the car that Krasinski and the
Well,
thug
rear ends
got in.
it. And it could have been an innocent mistake, but it's not. And Kaczynski gets out of the car and is going to argue with this guy for like running into him when he gets shot and killed.
No, and whoever it is has a stylist. This is clearly well planned.
Yeah, and then the killer goes to the side of Kaczynski's car, and while the guy in the car, the suspect, is trying to like convince them that, "Oh, I didn't tell them anything. I won't say a word." They kill him anyway. And so Now there are more people dead.
Yeah. So Peggy ends up again. I'm sorry, the chief.
Well, Peggy finds out from Rose the
Recognizes.
next morning,
Yeah.
and everyone's really sad.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's kind of in mourning when she gets to the office.
Sousa blames the anonymous tipper and is determined to find them.
But the chief blames Howard Stark because if
Even if he didn't pull the trigger, he got us into this mess.
yeah, darn it. So the chief. It says, I'm going to call Krasinski's wife, and Thompson says, I'll call his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Peggy ends up back at the diner, and they're playing Someone to Watch Over Me on this background music, which is a great song. She talks to Angie, and Angie listens while she talks about how someone, a coworker, died that day. And she's like, you know, I think we need some schnapps. And so they're going to go back and have schnapps. And that's the end of the episode.
Yep.
What were your best parts?
Learning more about Jarvis. I like that we get a little bit of insight into his relationship with his wife, but how he would how he was reacting to his wife being brought into the interrogation. He just gets so viscerally upset. He clearly loves his wife, and he doesn't want her involved in all of this. And he I just really like Jarvis. I like that we get a little bit more insight into him.
Yeah.
Peggy trying to prove herself, like her being like, but if I call it in, I'll get the credit. I'll finally like prove myself. I'll do this. And then Jarvis is like, no, sweetie, no, that's not how that's gonna work.
Yeah, very realistic of
And she
him.
has to be it, but I like that we're adding dimensions to her character. She's not just a badass. She's not all perfect. Like we already looked a little bit into her flaws in the last episode about her being so independent,
Yeah.
and now we're seeing how she may be independent, but she really d it
Craves
feels
approval.
she craves approval, and she's dependent on what others think of her.
Yes.
And so she there it's a multifaceted personality that I love that we're getting to see,
Yeah.
and it makes a lot of sense. And Angie, I really like Angie just being like, you want to have some schnapps or some rhubarb pie? Let's
Yeah.
see which one makes us sick first.
Yeah.
Like, that's a friend.
She's solid for sure.
She's awesome. And she's forgiving.
Yeah,
But she's
definitely.
also self-aware. Like, when Peggy's trying to get rid of her, she knows she's trying to get rid of her. And so
Yeah.
she's just like, I know, brush off when I see it. Fine, whatever. You don't want to hang out with me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So yeah, I like the fact that we're fleshing these characters out. Like Jarvis being like the sidekick guy, a lot of times the sidekick has like no dimensions at
Right.
all. Like all you do is you pick people up and you take people somewhere and you have the occasional one-liner.
And you've started to get a little bit more to him because he wanted to be more part of the action at some points,
Yeah.
but now we're seeing more of his personality.
Right. And why he's trustworthy and
Yeah.
things like that. So, I like Peggy trying to prove herself. I think we're all a little bit, as badass and independent as we all want to be, we all have to function in the world and have to be reminded about it. I think that's pretty
It's
true to
relatable.
life. It's true to life. I like Sousa in this.
Oh, I do love Susan in
He's
this.
just like a normal guy and I hate, him getting picked on.
Yep.
And I like Angie. I didn't write that down, but I also like the music. I think there was good music
Yeah.
chosen for this one. What were your worst parts?
I said Krasinski dying. I actually really like that Krasinski dies in a way. Oh, and not okay. That sound makes me sound very mean. I like that we're adding stakes. Because we
Yes.
have seen some people die. Like, we saw that, like, in the very first episode, Colleen dies, her roommate.
Yeah.
And obviously, that was like more of a plot device to get her to move and all that stuff. However, this him, Krasinski dying, waking everybody up to the situation and all of the agents to the situation that they're in, I think makes a lot of sense. And I think that it's the perfect guy to do it with. It couldn't be Thompson, it couldn't be Sousa because they drive the plot.
Right.
It can't be the chief. He drives the plot too. Krasinski, like
Disposable dude.
he's disposable. And again, that's a
Yeah,
horrible way to put it. And
I
also,
know.
he and I like Peggy's dilemma about him dying and her feeling bad about it because
Yeah.
she didn't like Krasinski, but
Right.
she didn't want him to die.
Right.
Like, he was a brute. He was a cheater. He was all this stuff. And she's telling Angie this, and she's just like, "But I still feel bad." Like, I still feel very sad for all of this whole situation. I feel horrible about it.
Yeah.
And so I like that what it does. Do I like that the guy dies? Not necessarily, but like I think that it does a lot for the plot.
Right. So, and a lot of times deaths can bring out people's true character, right? Or move them, move their character in direction, whatever that direction may be. And we're going to see that it has an effect on a lot of the characters in this show. So that's actually a really cool plot device, if we're calling it a plot device. So yeah, my worst part, the only thing I wrote down was the cartoony stuff, the thug guy on the boat
Yeah, what was
really
his
looked,
problem?
he looked so much like a cartoon drawing
He
of
was in
a
a wife
thug.
beater and
Yeah,
like
I'm like, geez, he
he's
had
like, why I
exactly
wanna
some, yeah, exactly the muscle chest. Yeah,
No,
he
but
had
it makes a lot of sense. I like that this, but you don't love it, but I kind of like that this show, like, it takes a lot of stuff seriously, but there are certain elements to it that they just don't take seriously, and I love that. Like the fight
That's true.
scenes, they are just like, let's make this as wacky as possible. Let's make it look weird. Let's make it
They do.
feel like a comic book, which I mean, it's a comic series technically. So I mean, it's like it makes
That's
sense.
true. That's true. So, what grade did you give this episode? Yeah, I gave
I think it's a B plus.
it a B plus. I'm almost thinking it's a B. It's just so like on that cusp to me,
I
but.
know we keep giving them Bs and B pluses, but I mean, honestly, that's just where we are because there hasn't been like a really big standout episode quite yet. Like
Yeah,
there, we've
as a
liked,
full episode,
yeah,
there are
we've liked,
parts that
yeah,
are really
ex
good.
exactly. We there are certain parts of these episodes that we love. Like
Yes.
there, and we pick, obviously pick them for our best parts. However, there are, and all of it's well written, but
Yes.
I don't know. There's just not like a big wow moment quite
Well, and
yet.
I don't feel like as an episode, like a constructed episode, they are as full of an arc. Like there will be an arc within the episode and then they'll tag something onto the end of it that's like leading to the next episode. And you're like, okay. You know, it's like, whoa, you know, you could have had like a bigger impact ending or whatever.
Sure.
And they don't
But I
always do
think they
that.
tried, they did a good job with like, I feel like if they ended this episode with Krasinski dying, that could have been interesting. And
Right. That's
then
what I was
started the
thinking.
next episode with like everyone being sad about it. But I don't know. They have a lot to cover in the next episode. So, I mean, fair enough. I
Yeah, they
can't
do.
necessarily blame them,
They
but.
do. So we are looking forward to sharing this next episode with you. We hope that you join us and cheers.
Cheers.